Welcome to the EY India Insights podcast. I am your host, Murali, and in this episode, we try to decode the Union Budget for FY26 in order to bring out the key macroeconomic messages. To facilitate this discussion, we are joined by Dr. D.K. Srivastava, a distinguished economist, member advisory council to the 16th Finance Commission, honorary professor, Madras School of Economics, and EY India's chief policy advisor. Sir, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you, Murali. Thank you very much.
Sir, the big question on everybody's mind is that the FM has rejigged the personal income tax rates and thereby provided a major relief to the households paying taxes. While she talks of a revenue foregone of INR 1 lakh crore, does that mean the entire amount will go into boosting private consumption? And in your opinion, what kind of impact this measure is expected to have on the overall economy?
Well, the implication is that the amount of INR 1 lakh crore would add to the disposable income, incomes of the households that will benefit from this rate rationalization and reduction. In fact, when personal disposable incomes increase, then they will have an impact both on consumption and on savings. Suppose that the propensity to consume, marginal propensity to consume is about 0.7, then consequently the marginal propensity to savings would be 0.3. And therefore, one part of this increase would go to add to consumption, which will then add to demand in the economy. The other part will go to add to savings. Both will have beneficial effects. Savings will provide financing of investment correspondingly, and consumption will provide additional demand, which will be spread across sectors. Now, the impact can further be analyzed by looking at what is the subset of beneficiaries in terms of the households who are going to benefit. In fact, the household sector in India actually is a big class, and we can consider it into lower middle income group, middle income group, and high middle income group. Most of the beneficiaries, I think, will be concentrated in the lower middle income to middle income groups. These will have a relatively larger marginal propensity to consume, and therefore, there would be a stimulating effect on demand, which will then have a multiplier effect, which will be spread over different sectors according to the structure of their demand, the consumption basket of the beneficiary sectors. Even these sectors, there is an underutilized capacity, then immediately the multiplier will take off and the economy will directly benefit. If these sectors have capacity which is already fully utilized, then immediately the output side would not respond and it would push inflation, in fact. So actually the expectation is that the overall demand would get a boost because in fact capacity utilization is close to about just a little less than 75%. And therefore some impact would be improving the consumption, and some impact would be towards facilitating investment.
That's an interesting perspective given the special measure that the budget has introduced this time, particularly on boosting consumption. Thank you, sir, for this special view. I would like to ask the second question, is that while the government has not reduced capital expenditure, this budget seems to prioritize putting money in people's hands more than boosting infrastructure spends. Has capital expenditure reached the state of diminishing returns? In your view, what are the pros and cons of the new approach that the government has adopted this time in the budget?
Well, it is not such a fundamental shift. It is only a marginal shift. In fact, government actually stimulates through all its overall expenditure, stimulates demand. However, in this case, there has been a a shift from the emphasis on government's direct capital expenditure, that is the expenditure, capital expenditure undertaken directly by Government of India. To some extent, an emphasis has been provided to stimulating demand through tax concessions. However, there are certain considerations that we need to keep in mind in terms of the fact that actually capital expenditure growth may not have come down all that much. In fact, there has been a shift in the channel of capital expenditure. And state governments have been co-opted to supplement GOI's effort on capital expenditure expansion. The grants, there is a term called effective capital expenditure, which is higher than the capital expenditure of GOI. And the excess comes from the grants in aid that are given to the state governments for capital asset formation. In this budget, that amount is quite large, budgeted at rupees 4.3 lakh crores. In addition, on the capital side, there has been an interest, there has been a provision of interest-free loan to the state governments for 50 years, amounting to a level of 1.5 lakh crore. So these are the two additional measures in which the state governments would be able to then supplement government's GOI's effort towards capital formation. This interest-free facility has been a continuing facility for the last 3 to 4 years, and this is sought to be continued for this year also. If we consider together GOI's capital expenditure, what has been budgeted, plus what is budgeted in terms of grants in aid for capital formation, the total amount aimed at augmenting capital expenditure, government capital expenditure in the system, amounts to 15.5 lakh crore. And that would result in a growth of 17.4%, which is similar to the kind of growth that was provided for GOI's capital expenditure in the FY25 budget. So I would say that there is, although there is some shift in terms of getting personal disposable incomes augmented, but the focus on capital expenditure is not altogether lost. Now, on the question of diminishing returns, which is a very interesting question, we can actually take note of the fact that diminishing returns on capital stock apply all the time. It is not anything peculiar for this year. This is because as capital stock becomes older and new technology starts getting inducted, the diminishing returns begin to apply on the older capital stock. However, it depends on the adoption of new technology, and we have AI and Gen AI and various new technologies that are getting adopted by both the private sector and the government sector. So when we adopt new technology, then it shifts the production function upwards. And the idea is that actually diminishing returns to capital stock apply all the time. But because of adoption of new technology, its adverse impact gets neutralized to some extent because the production function shifts upwards. And the higher is the rate of adoption of new technology, the more beneficial impact it will have on the overall growth. So I would say that we should consider that the best strategy for promoting growth actually is through augmenting capital expenditure growth. And to some extent, it can be supplemented by the support to personal disposable incomes, which would augment demand and therefore provide additional demand for the private sector, who can then begin to look at their capacity utilization ratios and then take up new investments.
Right, sir. While you are talking about investment and its implications on the growth, you almost led me into asking you another question, which is mostly related to the growth. So in your view, sir, are the steps taken by the government in its FY26 budget enough to push India's GDP growth to a higher level, that is 7% plus growth trajectory in the medium to long term? Or will these measures just keep India from growing at 6 to 6.5%? What is your take on this, sir?
Well, the budget actually takes a call on nominal GDP growth and not on real GDP growth. That estimate provided in the budget is 10.1% for nominal GDP growth. However, the economic survey gave us a perspective, and they predicted a real GDP growth in the range of 6.3 to 6.8%. In fact, the last for FY25, they had given a growth rate in the range of 6.5 to 7%. So if we take the midpoints of these, actually in their view, the growth rate is trended downwards from 7.5% at the midpoint, from 6.5% to 6.3%, because the likelihood is that if the global headwinds continue, then we might end up not at the midpoint, but in fact lower than that. That is the lower level of 6.3%. However, there are a number of uncertainties which can affect the actual outcome. First, there is a strong likelihood that there would be a reduction as we go into the fiscal year and progress further. The oil prices, global crude prices, as well as the gas prices may come down. And if that happens, then it will benefit the Indian economy and its growth considerably. So it much depends also on whether global headwinds will subside, whether oil prices will become moderated. And if that happens, then there would be a possibility of pushing this 6.3% likely real growth further upwards. The budget itself has provided some uplift to demand. But if we look at the actual total expenditure, Government of India's total expenditure, not just the capital expenditure, then we find that there is an interesting pattern that has emerged. FY23 onwards, progressively, the total expenditure undertaken by GUI has been actually languishing. It fell from 10.5% to 6% in FY24 to 6.1% in FY25, and it is slated at 7.4% in FY26. Such a low growth rate cannot actually sustain a nominal GDP growth even of 10.1%, which has been indicated in the budget. What can come to government's rescue is actually the quality of expenditure, which in fact is measured or indicated by the share of capital expenditure vis-a-vis total expenditure. This quality actually has a positive outcome if share of capital expenditure improves, because it has a higher multiplier as compared to the multiplier associated with revenue expenditures. Now, this quality has been showing a secular improvement over time. It was 18, this share was 18.7% in FY21. It improved to 28% in FY25 RE, and it is budgeted to improve to 30.6% in FY26 PE. So although total expenditure is trending downwards, which cannot sustain a much higher nominal GDP growth, but to some extent, this can be neutralized by the improvement in capital expenditure. But the overall outcome eventually would depend both on domestic forces and the way global economic performance takes place. And we have to then wait and see. But I would say that 6.5 is India's potential growth. And if we can push it up towards 7%, that will be very desirable. And it can be attained in the medium term.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your insightful response on the question on growth. Moving us on to a different question, particularly linked to fiscal consolidation and the targets. The budget has changed the target variable of fiscal consolidation from fiscal deficit to government debt relative to GDP. What is the implication of this move for India achieving a sustainable fiscal balance after the COVID shock?
Well, the fiscal sustainability analysis actually looks at debt and fiscal deficit relative to GDP as a pair and as a combination. In fact, what happens is that there is an assumption or a projection that is made about the nominal GDP growth rate. And then a path of fiscal deficit, level of fiscal deficit relative to GDP is specified. Given the combination of a nominal GDP growth and fiscal deficit, the debt GDP ratio at which it can be sustained year after year, then that gets determined as an outcome of this combination. So the focus on debt GDP ratio actually is not enough. In fact, the operational target must always be fiscal deficit, and the level of sustainability must be kept in mind, not the fact that it is only showing a path where some marginal reduction in debt GDP ratio is indicated. Therefore, this particular shift in emphasis actually may be convenient for the government of the day, but it has serious implications, because going over time, what will happen is that as we maintain a relatively high level of debt, the burden of interest payment will continue to rise as proportion of revenue receipts. And therefore, lower and lower share of primary expenditure would become available for the government to undertake expenditures. And it is the primary expenditure which actually determines the impact through government's intervention on government demand. And therefore, this is not a strategy that actually augurs well for the medium to long term. In fact, in India's case, the disturbance occurred in the COVID year, when the fiscal deficit to GDP ratio suddenly shot up from a level of 3.4% in FY19 to a level of 9.2%. So it took 2 years for that increase. And then now it has taken already about 7 years, and we do not see a reaching back a level of 3.4% or the level of 3%, which is the target that was specified in the 2018 FRBA Act. So I would consider that the adjustment, downward adjustment, is asymmetric. It requires considerable and persistent will on the part of the government to reach that level back towards sustainability, because then we can have a long-term outcome in which primary expenditure at the appropriate level can be sustained and financed.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir. These are extremely insightful perspectives. Thank you so much for joining us in this session and providing us your invaluable views.
Thank you to all our listeners.
Stay tuned for more captivating discussions on EY India Insights. Do not forget to subscribe to the latest updates. Until next time, this is Murali signing off. Thank you.